Okay, so we're on Daf Chet tonight, right? Daf Chet. Okay, so I'll begin on Zion with days around the. Okay, two lines, three lines above where it gets wide on Zion Chet. Kiddushin 7b. Okay, so we're three lines above where it gets wide on page 14. Okay, Ahu Gavra the Akdish Bishurai. There was a certain man that was Mekadosh a woman with silk. He says, Rabba, so silk obviously is something very valuable, especially in the ancient world, very valuable. So Rabba Mar lo Shvichi Shum. Rabba says that the value does not have to be appraised before the Kiddushin. It doesn't have to have an expert appraisal. Rabbi Yosef Mar Shvichi Shum. Rabbi Yosef says, no, before you can be Kaddish a woman, you have to have an expert appraisal. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what are the circumstances under which Rabba and Rabbi Yosef have this machloket. If he says to her, why don't you be Kaddish with the silk, whatever its value is. So everybody would agree it doesn't need expert appraisal. In other words, the silk is worth at least a pruta, according to everybody, whatever it's worth. So then everybody would hold you don't need an appraisal on the first very wide line. Ida Amarla Chamshin, Lo Shavu Chamshin, let's say he says, I want to be Mekadishu for 50 zuz, and the silk is worth 50 zuz, but it's not worth 50, and here's the silk, but it really turns out it's not worth 50 zuz. Alu Shavus, and there's nothing to talk about. It wasn't worth what he said it was worth. Ki pligi da amar chamshin. The machloket is, he says, I'm a kaddishu for 50 zuz, and here's the silk. He says, b'shavu chamshin. And indeed, it turned out after expert appraisal that it was worth 50, but at the time that he was makadishur, there was not an expert appraisal. So he says, I'm a kaddishu with the silk, and he thinks it's worth 50 zuz, but there's no expert appraisal. So Rabba Amar lo tzrichi shuma d'shavu chamshin. Rabba says it turns out ex post facto that there was no need for an appraisal because it turned out that it was worth 50 zuz. But Yosef Amar tzrichi shuma. Yosef says no, they needed an expert appraisal ahead of time. Even this b'shuma, the woman is not so expert at appraisal of the value of the silk. She doesn't have smichus das. She doesn't feel confident at the time of the kiddushin that she can rely that it's really worth what he says it's worth. So even though it turned out in the end it was worth what he said, but at the time of the kiddushin, according to Rav Yosef, there's no smichus das. That's the whole issue. Now, the Gemara says,
50.
right. According to Rav Yosef, right. That lo sam chadaita. She doesn't. I don't know what this is worth. Now. The Rav Leibowitz was just talking today. All right, well, or let me do a little more. And I'll come. So he says on the second line from the bottom. Ikadamri, others say bechol nami pligi. Now we have nami pligi. He Rav Leibowitz said that the Marsha says it's just pligi, not nami pligi. Nami pligi would mean that they're mechulak with the case where he says it's worth 50, and it turned out to be 50. But according to the Sukkimta, then apparently, then they would hold that it does need a shuma. He says, but the machloket is in the following case. He says, becholdehu nami pligi or pligi. That was where he says whatever this is worth. It's the machloket. Rav Yosef Amar shava kesef or kesef. Rav Yosef holds that shava kesef is the same as kesef. Ma kesef the kids af shava kesef nami pligi. Just like kesef. By definition, it's quantifiable. The time I give it, if I give you $1, it's worth $1. If $1.50 is worth $1.50, so too, according to Rav Yosef, Shava Kesef also has to be quantifiable at the time that he gives it. He says, now the Gemara is going to bring Raya's for him. Now, before I do that, what Rav Leibowitz is quoting, it's coming out to the Machloket is here by the silk. So Rabba holds the silk. Doesn't require Shuma. That's the way it was coming to Rabba. So he said the Bali Tosfot later on, Daf Tet, said that the Machloket is only by silk because women, according to Rabba, women have a general idea what it's worth. In other words, she doesn't know exactly what it's worth, but they have a general idea what it's worth. But if, let's say, it would be something more variable, like a precious stone, then even Rabba would say, I need to have an expert appraisal. In other words, an expert stone, the way Rav Leibowitz was saying, I don't know, I'm not an expert. It can be worth 5,000, 10,000, or 50,000. You have to know how to look at it. So there's a whole wide variety of way of looking at it. So then it could come out that even Rava would agree that I need to have an expert appraisal with this whole thing. Okay, but in the meantime, though, we're right now the Gemara is going with the Ukimta that the Machloket is with respect to he says whatever this is worth. I'm a Kaddish, whatever this is worth. So Rabbi Yosef holds that, so whatever it's worth, so it's certainly worth at least a pruta, but Rabbi Yosef holds no that Shava Kesef is Kesef, that which like the value of Kesef is the same as Kesef for the purpose of Lacha, but there's like an added caveat. It has to be Kesef is quantifiable. The Shava Kesef also has to be quantified at the time that using the Shava Kesef. So the Gemara says, and I'll pause in a few lines. He says on the top line on Chedamon Aleph, the top line, Rav Yosef ben Aminah. Rav Yosef says, where do I get this from that the Shava Kesef has to be like quantifiable? Tanya, Mikesef ben Katel. This is talking about an Eved Ivri that's sold to a non-Jew, and you want to be poda him, so you can amortize out like his sales price. So Mikesef ben Katel. So the Gemara says, "Mikesef hu nikneh, v'no nikneh b'tuvu b'kelim." This is the Braisa. The Braisa says that the Eved Ivri can be purchased with kesef, but not with tavu and kelim, not with grain or kelim. That's the end of the Braisa. So hi tavu b'kelim heichitam. What are you talking about with tavu b'kelim? Klal. If you're going to say that tavu and kelim can never be used to purchase the Eved, so yashiv gulatoh marach another vote shabbat kesef kesef. So the same pasuk. As an extra word, yashiv, says mikesef, this is yashiv gulato. So yashiv teaches me that shabbat kesef is kesef. So that's not tenable. So shabbat kesef is kesef. So I could use things that are valuable to it. Be lepu shabbat pruta, and if it doesn't have a shabbat pruta in it, my ear you tuva kelim for the kesef nami. If it's talking about two kids don't have shabbat pruta, but even kesef without a shabbat pruta wouldn't be worth. It wouldn't be able to do it. Elav, who shabbat pruta is it not negative interrogative? That we're talking about tefuah have a shava pruta, we came to look kite see low. But since, this is where Rabbi Yosef's propounding his argument, since they haven't been quantified by an expert appraisal, you can't use it. That's what Rabbi Yosef's argument is. So Rabbi Yosef, so again, the Bryce says, I can use kesef money to redeem the Eved Ivri, I can't use tefuah b'kelim. So Rabbi Yosef understands the Bryce, where it hasn't been expertly appraised, then I can't use it. So the Vidah, meaning Rabbah, who holds that I don't need an expert appraisal. He says, "Haki come." So he's going to explain the brayso differently. The Torah Kesef who nikna the Eved is acquired through Kesef. That's one of the Kinyanim. They nikna b'Torah Tevu b'Kelim. It can't be acquired with the method used for Tevu b'Kelim. Umayninu, what is that? Kalipin. In other words, the Eved cannot be acquired with a Kinyan Kalipin. What? Kalipin. Okay, Kalipin. He says. So then the flow of the Braisa is saying, in other words, if you compare with a Kenyan Kesef, you can't compare with a Kenyan Kalipin. And the simple pshat is that you're acquiring from a non-Jew, so the Kenyan Kalipin doesn't work with a non-Jew. That would be one pshat. But there's a whole shakhtari that Rav Leibowitz was talking about today. So Rav Nachman de Amar, Peiro of the Kalipin might Lamer. But according to Rav Nachman, Peiro can't be used for Kalipin. Now, Rashi goes through it. It says in Megillat, which we laid on Shuas. So this is around the 10th narrow line of Rashi. It says Shalapishnalo. That's where we learn out the din of Kinyan Chalipin. It says at the end, like the Goel is gonna somebody's gonna acquire the field that that belonged to Machlon and Mechilion and the whole family. So Shalapishnalo, so we take off a shoe, and the shoe would be the keli that they're using. That's something the keli could use. And then it says L'kayem Kol Davar. So the first way in the sense Kol Davar can even be tavua, can even be tavua, but Rav Nachman holds that you can't use tavua for it. And kol davar, he explains that anything could be acquired with a shoe. In other words, not that you use tavua for it, but anything, any the object that you're acquiring can be with a shoe, anything with a shoe. So back in the Gemara, around 10 lines down, Rav Nachman davar pirlo avdi chalipin ma'ayit lemei. According to Rav Nachman, that pshat doesn't get off the ground because it can't be saying that you can't acquire the eved with shorthand tevu b'kelim, which is kinyan chalipin, but that can't be a shorthand for chalipin because according to Rav Nachman, tevu can never be used for chalipin. So he says, El Eliolam Dleipu Shava Pruta. So rather, according to Rabbah, we'll explain the Braisa is talking about that they don't have a Shava Pruta in them, the tevu b'kelim. So that's why it doesn't get off the ground. With the comment, my ear, you tevu b'kelim, kelim kesef nami, nami. So he said, so if it's not a Shava Pruta, so even Kesef isn't good with less than a Shava Pruta. So Loma Baye Kamar, it goes without saying. Loma Baye Kesef, the big Shava Pruta, any Lolo, It goes without saying that when it comes to kesef, got a shabbat putir in business, not a shabbat putir not, about tefuva kalim, when it comes to rain or kalim, ema, I would have thought, means the mekarvana atayu, gamar macha nafshe, that like the hana is close to you, it's like easily accessible. In other words, there's a difference between having a dollar to buy a loaf of bread or having a loaf of bread. And if I'm hungry for lunch, and I got a dollar, and I could buy a loaf of bread, or I have a loaf of bread which costs a dollar, but it's on the table. It's different when I have the bread that's right, ready to be used right now. I mean, Carmen, I tell you, so Gamar Makanafsha, I would say that even works, maybe less than a Shabbat Puta, Kamashmalan. Okay, well, let's just summarize for a second, and then think over what we just did. Okay, so we got into the topic of Makadish Bishirayim, person is Makadish, a woman with silk. And we had a machloket between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, whether it needs an expert appraisal before the Kiddushin. So according to Rabbah, they don't require expert appraisal. According to Rav Yosef, they do require expert appraisal. So in the first two kims of the Gemara, they said the machloket is when the husband says, I'm a kaddish for Hamishim Zuz, and here's the silk. So, and then it turns out that it, afterwards, it turns out that it was worth 50 Zuz. So is she Mekudesh or not? So according to Rabbah, yeah, no harm, no foul. He said 50 Zuz, and it turned out to be worth 50 Zuz. So we're in business. But according to Rabbi Yosef, even if it turns out later on that it was 50 Zuz, they're not Mekudeshet, because at the time of the transaction, the time of the Kiddushin, the woman doesn't have Smichus Das. She doesn't feel confident that it is worth 50 Zuz. In other words, she's got to know with certainty that it's worth 50 Zuz, what he says it is. So therefore, unless it's an expert appraisal before the Kiddushin, even though it sounds like, you know, it would be good, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's not good. Okay, that was the first who came to the Gemara. She does, she takes it, fine. He says, I'm Kaddish with the Chamishim Zuz, and here's the silk, and she takes it. But then, you know, did she have Smichus Das or not? So according to Rabbi Yosef, even though it looks like it's good, it's not good. Wait, 1 second. I'm saying, I'll finish the summary, then we'll come back. 1 second. So he says, then we had an Ikad Amre. The Ikad Amre said, now, there were two Lashonos with this. Either Bechulda Hu Nami Pli, the Machloket is what we just said, but it's also, even if he says it's worth whatever it's worth, then there's also Machloket. Or that it could be that there's no Machloket in the first case, meaning, indeed, in the first case, everybody would hold that you do need an appraisal. But if he says, I'm a Kaddish for whatever this is worth, then they have the Machloket. Winter Rabbit's worth at least a prutus, so no harm, no foul. But according to Rabbi Yosef, even if I say whatever it's worth, I have a problem. Because Rabbi Yosef learns that Shabbat Kesef, just like Kesef is quantifiable, I have an exact quantification for the money. So to Shabbat Kesef, I have to have an exact quantification of it when I go forward with the Kiddushin. So then we said, where does Rabbi Yosef know that from? So Rabbi Yosef learns it from the Brisa, so this is Mekesef in the Gato, that an Eved Ivri could be nifted, redeemed from the non-Jew with Kesef, but not Tevu and Kalim. So why not Tevu and Kalim? So he figures it's got to be that it has Shabbat Bruta. So it must be because it was not quantifiable. That's the way Rav Yosef learns the price. And Rabbah would say, no, it's not the issue. It didn't have a Shabbat Kippur. It didn't have a Shabbat Kippur. What did it teach me? I even guessed like it was a Shabbat Kippur. So I would have thought that it's Makar Banai Atayu. Banai is like easily accessible, and that's worth something. So Mela, notwithstanding that, it doesn't work. Let me just mention one of the two or three points, then I'll post you some questions, comments, thoughts. And that is with Makar Banai Atayu. I'll say one Gemara that I remember. I'll mention the Gemara that, first I'll mention the Gemara that Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned. Like it comes up in the Gemara Masech Subas, remember with Mar Okva around Daf Nun Tet Subas, I think that's what he said. It was Daf Nun Tet Samach and around that area. So Mar Okva and his wife would give tzedakah to an Ani, and then the Ani laid in wait to see who this is. And then when he saw them, they saw that he was after them, so they ran away from him. And make a long story short, right. So they hide it in an oven. So in the oven, like the oven was hot, so Mar Okva's feet were getting burnt, but his wife's feet were not getting burnt. So she says, put your feet on my feet. So the Gemara says, well, how come her feet weren't getting burnt? Because she would give, like the Zman Chazal, like the Ani would come to the woman, so she gives him food directly. The man gives money, so that's not so direct. And then there's a similar Gemara in the Masechet Tanis with Abba Chilkiyahu. Remember, he and his wife, remember the Zesurim Rabbanan, they come to them to pray for rain. And they go up, right, they go up to different corners, but the clouds come from the wife's corner, not from his. So the Gemara says, why did the clouds come from the wife's corner, not from his? Right, so she would give, like, the Makar Banai Atayu, she would give the tzedakah more directly, so that she has that, and he not. Okay, who's the question? First, Mayor, and then everybody else. Go ahead, Mayor.
What Rav Yosef's say that the woman has to know the value the object,
At the time.
even if she knows it's worth a pruta,
Right.
that she just has to, yes to
No,
know
no,
the
no,
value.
no, no, no. Let's go back. Again, with which case are we talking about now? We have two cases. We have two situations. One was
Where it says
again
it's worth.
in the first Lashon, he says Chamishim Zuz. So Rabbi says you don't need an appraisal, and Rabbi Yosef says you do need an appraisal because she doesn't have smichus das. She's not confident. He said 50 zuz. So she's my ideal is 50 zuz, but I don't have confidence it's worth 50 zuz. But in the second Lashon, Rabbi Yosef is saying
Whatever
so.
it's
Is
worth.
saying something more comprehensive. He's saying that when you have Shabbat Kesef, you have to have an exact quantification of it to use it as Kesef.
Does that mean that the woman has to know the value,
Right.
even though she knows it's worth at least a pruta?
Right. And to work in Shabbat, the second Lashon is
But
more
really,
calm,
you don't have to use
more.
it in both cases.
Wait, well, no. In the first case, he says Chamishim Zuz. So
Yes.
in the first Lashon, if he says whatever it's worth, so then they both agree that she's going to kudesh it, because everybody holds that it's worth at least a Shabbat Pruta. But if he says Chamishim Zuz, and then so she may not, according to Rabbi Yosef, she may not have Smichas Das that's worth 50 Zuz. So even though it turned out she was worth 50 Zuz, she's still not kudesh because she has to have Smichas Das at the time. In the second Lashon, we're saying something more comprehensive, regardless of whatever he says. If using Shabbat Kesef, I have to have a, it has to be quantified at the time of the transaction. That's why it doesn't work, if, unless it's quantified. Okay, any questions in Zoom land? Right. That's right, because we're afraid. But again, remember, we said that according to the first Lashon, no. Remember, we said in the end, like according to the second Lashon, Ikeda Amri, according to the Maharsha, Ikeda Amri, Becholdehu Pligi. So then that comes out in the first Lashon. Everybody agrees if I say Chamishim Zuz, but anyway, it's for Smichas Das. That's why, that's the reason we discussed this at the very beginning of the Sefer. You need Smichas Das for the woman. Okay. All right. I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Okay. All right. Now we're around. Give me one second. Okay, yeah, Amar Rav Yosef, yeah. Okay, so around 20 lines down, the first words on line are Amar Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef is deducing another proof. Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef had a proof from the Brisa that for Shabbat Kesef, it always has to be quantified, but then Rava was able to deflect the proof. He had a different way to extend the Brisa. So Amar Rav Yosef, now Rav Yosef is trying to bring another proof. So Amar Rav Yosef, Menamin Allah, where do I know that it always has to be quantified? The Tanya, we learn in the Brisa. Now, this is talking about Pidyon HaBen. As you know, the Torah requires that if you have a Ben Bechor, so you have to be Poda him, pay the 5 shkalim. And the 5 shkalim is not like, 2 cents. We discussed this on Shabbos. It's like between $100 and $200 in today's market. So he says, Menamin Tanya, Egel Zeh Pidyon B'nei. If a man says, this calf is to be Poda my son, he says, this talis is to be poured on my son. Lo mar klum. That statement means nothing. It's not an effective pidyon. Egel ze b'chamesh shlaim l'pidyon b'nei. This egel, which is worth 5 shlaim, will be for the pidyon of my son. Tal zu b'chamesh shlaim l'pidyon b'nei b'no padui. And then it does work. So the Gemara says, "Hi pidyon hechidam." What are the circumstances of the pidyon? We want to flesh it out. If we assume that it was not worth 5 shlaim, so quote kamine. So if it's not worth 5 shlaim, how could it work? How could it work in any event? In other words, in either one of the cases, it can't work, right? If it's not what quote kamine. In other words, even if he says it's worth 5 shlaim, but it's not worth 5 shlaim, it doesn't work. Elav afal gav d'shavi. Is it not that in both instances the egel and talis were worth at least 5 shlaim? The Kaven lo kaitzi lo. So it means we think right now, and they quoted the article from Rashba, that in the first case we think he just says this egel, which is worth 5 shlaim, whatever. This is for the pidyon b'nei, this is talis, and it is worth 5 shlaim, but at the time they don't know it. He says, and the second case, when he says that it's worth five shalayim, when the b'risa means that I've had it appraised at five shalayim, and then that's different. So if that's the pshat in the b'risa, then Rabbi Yosef has a b'risa. That's on all fours of what he's saying. When I'm using shava kesef, I have to have an appraisal ahead of time, which he had. So the Gemara deflects this proof as well. Well, the olam lo shavi. No, I could say the b'risa is talking about that indeed the egel and talis were not worth five shalayim. We could go into Kabil Kohen and Leve, but the Bryce is saying in the second case where the Kohen accepts it in lieu of five shalayim. In other words, the Kohen knowingly accepts it to satisfy the five shalayim, then he's Yotze. He says, Ki hadda Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana, and we'll assume right now that he's a Kohen, though Tosfos has some questions about that. Ki hadda Rav Kahana, Shakil Sudra mi Beit Pinyon HaBen. He took a Sudar. He took a, you know, it's like a cloth that he would use like for as a turban. He says, I view it, to me it's worth five slime. In other words, I even though it may not on the marketplace be worth five slime, to me it's worth five slime. So let's just one second. He says, yeah, so okay, so the Gemara says, so this, that's so again, so we thought we had a proof to Rav Yosef that was on all fours from this Bryce. We thought the Bryce was saying that if you have it appraised at five shalayim, then it's good. So no, and the Gemara is saying it's not worth five shalayim at the beginning, not worth five shalayim in the end. But in the end, the Kohen agrees to accept it in lieu of the five shalayim, then that's a good pinyon. Now, four more lines, then we'll pause, we'll take a Tosfos, we'll see. Amar Vashim. So he says this is only worth for Rav Kahana. He was an Adam Gadol, and he needs to have a turban on his head. Like pastishly should walk out with a turban on his head. But everybody else, like it wouldn't be worth. Now Rashi says the Gavarabahu v'lo azil Rosh. He wouldn't go begilui Rosh. That may sound like people that would go begilui Rosh, and it could be that that's the pshat. Could be. I was thinking it could be like this, that I'm thinking like you know, maybe it means like how many coverings you have or how right, that's the type of thing, you know, like we had like a larger covering or something like that. So he says here now two or three more lines. Ki hata marba ravashi zaban sudra mi'imi de rabba mikubi, like marba ravashi, he bought a sudar from the mother of rabba from kubi. Shaviasar. So the fair market value was 10 slime, but he paid 13 slime for it because he was an Adam Gadol. For him, it was worth more money. So at the end of the day, the Gemara, we have the Machlokes in Rav and Rav Yosef. We're not able to bring any conclusive proof to Rav Yosef over Rav. That's the Machlokes, the way that goes down. Now, let's just do Tosfos, then we'll talk. One, two, three, four. Four Tosfos. Rav Kahana Shakal Sudra Pinyon HaBen. Now, somebody whose name is Rav Kahana, he's got to be a Kohen, right? Like Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana Shaka Surah Pityon Ben, Mashbaha Rav Kahana, yeah, Kohen. It sounds like Rav Kahana was a Kohen. But Tema, we know, is Ritosos' strongest question. The Besofe Lu over him, in the Gemara Pesachim, say about the right Shidduch, you know, like Inbei HaGefen, Vinvei HaGefen, that's where the Gemara is over there. So it says, about Kohen should marry a Kohen. If Bak Kohen doesn't marry a Kohen, it's not an Ein Zivug Ben Lo Yafet. The Zivug doesn't go so well. So he says, the Kamar, he loved the Nasibi Kahanta lo galoy. He says, Rav Kahana does. Rav Kahana was in Babel. He said, had I not married a Bak Kohen, so I didn't, I'm not a Kohen. I married a Bak Kohen, so as a result of that, I had to go into Galus. He's going from Babel to Eretz Galus. In other words, I had to leave my normal place to go somewhere else. So he had to go into Galus. Because he married the Bak Kohen, but that sounds like he's not a Kohen. Sounds like he's not a Kohen. Yeah, the way I remember the Gemara is, isn't Rav Kahana the one that the government was after him that he had, and then he fled anyway. So the Gemara says, so B'yesh Lomar the three Rav Kahana. So this first answer, there were two Rav Kahanas. So this Rav Kahana is a Kohen. That Rav Kahana is not a Kohen because he figures here he's saying the money from the Bidyon HaBen is Kohen. Oh, but they're not a Kohen. Inami, or else Tosu says, Ishto of Kahana. Or else his wife was a Bak Kohen, and his wife being a Bak Kohen, so he's taking about half the wife, and the wife take the money from Pinyon Ben. So this is a whole machloket Rishonim, whether indeed that is the case or not. Well, it's saying he was accepting on behalf of his wife, but it's saying can a woman be the accepted, you know? Well, this is a whole machloket Rishonim about this. That's the way that that's the way I think that Rav Leibowitz was saying, right? It's a whole machloket Rishonim. Here, wait, I have a little bit to say on this. This is from the Al Hadam. Okay. The Torah requires one to redeem his before by giving a coin 5 slime or not worth 5 slime. This is called Pinyon HaBen. The Torah relates an incident in which Rav Kahana, a Kohen, he takes his coin, was given an inexpensive turban after the redemption of someone's firstborn son, and he said to the father, "The Didi Chazli Chamesh Slime, this turban is worth 5 slime to me, therefore valid for the redemption of your son." Rav Ashi comments that declaring that the turban is worth 5 slime is only meaningful only in the case of prominent Kohen similar to Rav Kahana, since prominent people always wear a head covering. The turban has added worth in his eyes, and he's willing to pay more than its market value if he needs a head covering. However, if a father gives an inexpensive turban to an ordinary Kohen, Kohen's declaration of Lididi Shavli Chamesh Shloim would ring hollow and would not validate the Pinyon HaBen, since the turban has no special significance to him and is not worth 5 Shloim. The Ritva questions whether this concept of Lididi Shavli is applicable to Kedushin. So here we're saying Lididi Shavli, like ups it up. He says, now the way we hooked into this is we thought the Braisa, according to Rav Yosef, was saying that if you had an appraisal, it was 5 shloim scope. But then the Gemara falls back on this pshat, Lididi Shavli. So we see for Pinyon HaBen, I could say something's not worth the market value, but I could say it is worth the thing. So he wonders, the Ritva does, whether the condition performed with an item worth less than a puta is valid if the woman is in need of the particular item and declares it worth a puta. So would I carry that concept over to Kedushin? What if a woman says, for me, it is worth a
She's
puta?
poor. She doesn't have anything.
Right. So the Maharshal rules that such a Kedushin is not valid because an item that is worth less than a puta has no significance as they were valueless regarding all laws of the Torah. And one's declaration is not as to the value of the item worth. In other words, less than a puta is like, it's not considered kesef. He says, in a related question, the Mishnah Melech deliberates whether an esrog, which year-round is worth less than a puta, may be used for a kedushin on the festival Sukkot, since people who need an esrog for the mitzvah are willing to pay more than a puta. So that's a different type of thing, like an item that's whose like a value, but it's only value now for 8 days, then it's going to crash. Now the Rambam, codifying this halakha, writes that if a Kohen accepts an inexpensive item from a ben, as though it was worth 5 shloim, the redemption is valid. The Rashba questions why the Rambam omits Rav Ashi's stipulation. An item worth less than 5 shloim may not be given for Pinyon HaBen, less of special significance to the Kohen, it's actually worth 5 shloim to him. So, in other words, like the Gemara says, like he's a gadol and he accepted it, blah, 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 blah. So he says, in answer to the Beis Yosef explains that according to the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara, Rav Ashi doesn't mean to say that the item must be of special significance to the Kohen from the Pinyon HaBen. Rather, as long as the item is worth 5 shloim to someone, it can be used for Pinyon HaBen. Even if it's not of special value, the coin forming the Pinyon HaBen. It's a different way of understanding. So he's saying if somewhere in the world this thing item is worth 5 shloim, this is a different way of understanding it, then it could be used for Pinyon HaBen, and it's 5 shloim. That's separate from the thing. So by Kiddushin, it could be, we saw already that it would not be, a quick Marshal wouldn't work. I can't see the Didi Shavili. Now, but here the Gemara has this idea that I don't know about the second idea. Like let's say it's worth somewhere in the world. I don't know how that was. It says Kesef Chamesh
So you got to get five. But it...
well, the question is, what if a person says it's worth to me 5 shloim?
What's he going to say?
No.
Value
Well,
of five is
what? Okay.
five.
Again, let's start. We know Shava Kesef is Kik Kesef. That's first. So it doesn't have to be 5 shloim. You can even Shava Kesef. That's the first he's owed. So what if a person says to me it's worth 5 shloim? Anyway, so anyway, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Everybody good?
Passing like that today?
I don't know. Let's see now for the Gemara. Now, well, if you look at where the Beis is, you have to look at the citation over there. If you want to get the Yoredei, I'd look, I'll take a look. Yoredei Siman Shin Hei. It's Chelek Gimel Yoredei. It's the one where the binding's falling apart. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's see now. Second. Shin Hei. What's that?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, here's what the Mechaber says. He says, "Natano kli she'enu shava b'shuk hamisha slayim." Let's say the father gives a keli which the fair market value is not five slayim. The kiblo kamein b'chamisha slayim, but the kohen accepts it in lieu of the five slayim. He says, "Harei b'no padui." According to the Rambam, "V'hu shish v'chamisha slayim m'shum adam." So here the Mechaber is going like the Rambam. In other words, if there's somebody in the world, to that person it would be worth five
So
slayim.
even at this coin, somewhere in the
Right.
world.
Yeah, that's the way the Mechaber learns. That's the way it seems like. Now, yeah. Then he says, "Natano kli pidyon b'no stam." Let's say he gives a kli. If he didn't have an expert appraise, it still works. Okay. Anyway, go on. Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Thoughts? I'm going to go on. Everybody ready? Okay. Let's look back on the Gemara. Okay, we're on Chenam and Aleph. Okay, so we're at the two dots around six lines before it gets wide on page 8A. I got to pick up the pace time, so I apologize, but we're falling behind the schedule. So Amr Lazar, if a man says to a woman, "I want you to be me for a man is 100 zuz, but not talent dinar, 100 dinar, 100 zuz on dinar, same thing." So he gives her 1 dinar. In other words, I'm a kaddish you for $100. He gives her $1. Harezu mekudeshet v'yashlim. So Reb Lazar says she's Mekudesha, but he owes the other $99. So my timer came into Amar Lamana, since he said, "I'll Mekadesh you for mana," but he gave her a dinar. Come on to Amar Lamanatami. It's as if he said, "You're Mekudesha to me on condition that I'm going to give you the money." And then he says, "If you say Amanat, it means retroactively it is back now. So they're Mekudesha. But he's got to give the money. If he doesn't give the money, then retroactively they're not married. But he's got to give the money." Now, that would be open ended. In other words, I'm not. So there's no. How could he not do it? In other words, it was open ended. So there's no time limitation with that. So he says, "Okay." So that's Reb Lazar's din. So the Gemara says two lines before it gets wide. Maybe. So this we have a kasha from the following brisa. Hikachi libimana. Let's say a man says to a woman, "It would dash me for mana." By Amona Baholich, and he's busy counting out the money. And then one of them gets cold feet, either the man or the woman, before the money is all counted out. So he's counted 100 dinarim. Even if that dinar 99, he says, Harashipiado. Either one can pull out of the deal. So here we said that she's Mikudeshet, because Kumar Maksham. But here we're saying they're not Mikudeshet until it's the last dinar. So Hakamayaskinan the Amar Babanazu. So we think the case of the Brisa here, the case where Blazer was telling him touch the Bamana, Amana. Here we think the case is he says Bamanazu, this mana, this 100, and he's got a bag of 100 dinar. Be Mekadesh to me for this bag of 100 dinarim. He says, so if that's the case, so well, this bag, I expect the bag now, and I gotta see what's there. So the Gemara says that would be a good pshat, but Hami the safe manazu reish manastam. But the safe of the Brisa is going to be manazu, which we're going to do in a second. So the reish case would be a different case manastam. So then we have a stira. The katani safe because we're going to save the Brisa. Amarla katshu liba manazu. If he says, "I want you to catch me with this mana," benimsa mana chaser dinar. It turns out it's missing 1 dinar. Oh, dinar shana koshet, or 1 dinar instead of being silver. I think it would be silver. It's made of copper. He says, "Ain't a mikdash, not mikdash." Dinar raw, a bad dinar, and we'll see in a minute what that is. A reason mikdash of Yaakov. She's mikdash, but he has to substitute it for a good dinar. So if that's the case, so if the second case is manazu, the ratio must be manastam, which is abstira. Lo, ratio of safe and our manazu. The Gemara says, "No, I can say both the ratio and the safe are explaining manazu. Then all our problems are over." Upirushi kamafarish. The Brisa is just explaining what the first case is. Ketzad, Amar La B'manazu. So in other words, it's one big case. He said, in other words, in other words, the first case is he said Manazu, and he can close there by the last dinar. And what's the case? He says Manazu and so forth. But Hakinami and the Gemara says that's logical. He said that Manastam. If you would think like we thought initially, and we are rejecting at this moment, the first case was Manastam, and we're saying with Manastam, she's not Mekudesh until all the money's paid out. Hashmanastam lohabakidushe, so if manastam, just leaving aside Reb Lazar, if manastam, you're not Mekudesh until I pay the last dinar, then certainly manazu, certainly not. So the Gemara says, Hini Shamahalo Iria. from that last line of argument is not dispositive, because the Gemara has a way that I could say the first case is mana stam, the second case is mana zu. Tana seifa l'gilui reisha. I could say the seifa case is to reveal to me that the reisha case is mana stam. Shlo tamar reisha mana zu. Don't say, in other words, I don't want you to think the first case is mana zu. About mana stam habu kiddushin, but with mana stam, it would be good kiddushin. So tana seifa mana zu. So he teaches the same case of Manazuma, thought the ratio of Manastam, but people are not going to have a Kiddushin. So the Gemara deflects the proof. But the bottom line is we have Reb Lazar that's in Mekudeshin right now, and our working Teretz to resolve the steamer from the Brisa is the Brisa talking about Manazu. It's not Mukhrach from the Brisa, but the Brisa could be talking about both cases, Manazu. Okay? In which case, Reb Lazar is still cooking with fire. Okay, the first wide line downstairs. Ravashi Amar, Mona Baholech Shani. Rav Ashi says that the case of the Brisa is where he's, it could be that he said Manastam, but he's counting out the money. When he's counting out the money, that's a whole, horse of a different color. The Daita Akule, then her mind is on the whole thing. In other words, you can catch with the money and count it out. Yeah, I want to see you got the whole money. Let me see what's going on here. Okay, so that's two ways to resolve our issue with Rav Lazar. Now, the Gemara's mentioned about Dinar Shalakoshin. Hi, Dinar Shalakoshin, Ekidami. What's the case of Dinar Shalakosha? We said that, yeah, we said in the Mekudeshet, but if it was Chaser Dinar, or there was a Dinar Shalakosha, Idi Adabe, she knows that it's there because she's counting out everything, so she knew about it and accepted it. Lo Srika, no, he paid her out at night, so she couldn't see so clearly. In the morning, he's got one as copper. Inami, or it was like between all the other zuzim, and she didn't notice it, that type of thing. Now, hi Dina Ra Hechidami. Now, Dina Ra, she's Mekudeshet, but Biachli. What's that case? Ilo Nafik had a Dina Shalakoshin. If people don't accept it for a regular dinar, that's like an effect same as Dina Shalakoshin. So Amra Papa going Nafik Al. You can like people accept it, but Al Yedekach still like. Maybe like they used to have like for a period of time they gave up on it. A few years ago, remember with the coins for the dollars? Remember they were pushing. Remember they had those coins for the dollars, the dollar coins, just like 3, 4 years ago. Do you remember? No, nobody remembers this. Anyway, they were pushing these coins like you said the dollar bills. You don't remember this? This is just like 3, 4 years ago. Anyway, so like people like didn't want to even accept it, but like I think the cock they accepted. I don't know, here in America, like in other countries, in Israel, they believe it works. Here, it didn't never caught. They want the dollar bills. I remember, like, I had a whole bunch of those things that I tried to pay the guy, the guest at a station, and he was upset with it, but he ended up taking it. Okay, so that's that piece. Okay, I got to keep moving on the bottom line now. Okay, so on Chedam and Aleph, the bottom line. Everybody with me? So, two dots. So, I'm a Rav Nachman. Let's say a man says to a woman, I want you to condition me for a mana, 100 zuz. He says, "V'niach la," and he gives her. He doesn't give her anything. He gives her a mashkon, like a security. Ain't a mikudeshet. She's not mikudeshet. Turn page, top line, another base, head of a base. He says, "Mana ain kan." He didn't definitely didn't pay her the mana. That's not there. Mashkon ain kan. There's no mashkon either. What does it mean, no mashkon? So it means the mashkon is not hers as her property. And there's two ways to understand the sugya. Either the first sugya is the first way to do it. Is that giving her a mashkon doesn't create the obligation to pay her the money. In other words, giving her the mashkon doesn't create the obligation. In other words, if I borrow $1,000 from you when I give you my Rolex watch, then you have a right to seize the Rolex watch, and then that's it. So this, but otherwise, like just giving a mashkon doesn't create an obligation. To do anything. In other words, like I say, here's this mashkon, that doesn't create the obligation, and it doesn't give her necessarily even the right to. In other words, here's this mashkon, it doesn't even get her the right to hold on to it in lieu of the payment. That would be the first way to do it. The second way to do it is in Hakinami, giving over a mashkon does create the obligation. In other words, right. In other words, he has to pay the money. He said 100 zuz. He says. But giving her the mashkon does not create the obligation to give her the 100 zuz. The fact that I gave her the mashkon. So that's nothing. I give her nothing. I give her the mana, and then even the mashkon is not even really hers. Or the second way is it does create normally an obligation. By kiddushin, it's not enough because by kiddushin, I have to actually give her something, and just that she even as an even if,
Obligation,
right, even as an obligation, it's like I'm a kadosh milvein, I'm a kadeshet. If I say, like, okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So mana inkan, mashkan inkan. So the top line on, I got to run now on the kind of days. So eifei rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba poses the following questions. Rav Nachman, this is from a brisa. The brisa says, kitshav mashkan. The Bryce says, if I'm a Kaddish woman with Mashkon, she is Mekudeshet. So the Gemara says, no, I can distinguish those two cases. Hata Mashkon da'cheirin Rabbi Yitzchak. That's talking about people owed the man money, and he let's say they left a Rolex watch as the Mashkon, and then I give her this Mashkon, and it's saying in essence I'm giving her over the right to collect the debt or to seize the Mashkon. He says the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ninayin the Baal Kol Shekona Mashkon. Where do we know that a creditor acquires the right to Mashkon? Shneimar Lachati Tzedakah. If you give the woman her clothing back in the evening, so Hashem will consider that tzedakah to you. Yimeinu Kona Tzedakah Minayim. If he doesn't, if it's not his, why does it call tzedakah? Mikal the Baal Kol Shekona Mashkon. Anyway, the point being that case is different than the case we're talking about. We're talking about this looks up to a woman. He says, "I'm going to pay you a mana. Here, hold on to this, dear." He gave her nothing. He gave her an object, a mashkon, maybe the watch or something like that. But she doesn't acquire the right to mashkon, and according to one side, it doesn't even create the obligation to pay the money. In other words, there's nothing. Okay, now back in the Gemara, Bnei Rav Huna Bar Avin Zavanu Hi Amta Bepriti. So the sons of Rav Huna Bar Avin, they purchased an ama, like a slave woman, for a number of prutot. Lo Havu Ba Dayu. They didn't have the money with them. OTB Naskale. So they gave the seller a piece of silver. They said, like, we'll be back. Here, hold on to this. He says, the Sofa Yakar Amda, but then the market for these Amot went up and now she's worth a lot of money. Actually, come Ramami. So everybody that we want the cheap price, and he says, no, I want the expensive price. So Amar Lahum, Ramami said, Priti Inkan, Naska Inkan. In other words, you didn't give him anything. You didn't give the Pruto, it's not the Pruto. And the Naska is not his. And it was the same idea as before. It doesn't create an obligation. Okay, now, Tana Rabbanan, Nikachli b'mana. Now, if a man says to a woman, I want you to be Mekudesh to me for a mana, and here's the mana, here's the bag of mana. Kachli mana, Nitalto, Uzrakol Yam. She takes it and throws it into the ocean. Oh, the ore, she throws it into the fire, yeah. Oh, the Kholavar Ha'aved, or to anything that would destroy it, Eina Mekudesh. She's not Mekudesh. Can you imagine at a Kippur, something like that happened? Anyway, so he says, so the Gemara says, like, what is the rest teaching me? So if she'd thrown it at his face, she would be Mekudeshet. I mean, we think that we got the idea with this. So Haka Amrle, Shakiloba'ina, she's by her action saying, I don't want it. So he says, Lomi by Kamar. So it goes without saying. Lomi by Shaditinu Kameh, Kiddushin. It goes without saying, if she takes the item and throws it at him, obviously she doesn't want it. It's not good Kiddushin. Abazrak Tola Yamo or, but where she took the item that he gave her and throws into the ocean or to the fire, Ema, I could think, Kaven de Mechaibabahu, since if she's not going to be Mekudeshet, now she's liable for damages. In other words, she's taking, in other words, if I'm accepting it as Kiddush, it's one of them, not, that's his property, I'm destroying property. So Kiddushi Kaddish Dafsha. So I would think it doesn't seem logical that a woman would incur this financial liability on herself. So the alternative is no, she is Mekadesh herself. The fact that she's throwing it into the ocean or into the fire, Savra Ibadke Lahai Gavra Huolo. And now that I'm getting married to him, I want to see what his temper is like. Is it better to do this before the Kiddushin than afterwards? But let me see what type of temper he has. So maybe she should be Mekudeshet. So Kama Shmuel, no, that even in that case, in Akinami, she's got financial liability, but she's not Mekudeshet. All right. We have 30 seconds for questions. Anybody? Okay. So we're 2 lines above where it gets wide. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Hikachli B'mana. Let's say a man says to a woman, be Mekudeshet to me for 100 dinarim. And she says to him, to name La Abba, give it to my father, or give it to your father. Ain't a Mekudeshet. Then in those instances, she's not Mekudeshet. Amanachi Kabumli, but if she says, give it to these people on condition that they accept it on my behalf, then she is Mekudeshet. So the Gemara explains, Tana Abba, Odiacha Koach Dereshet. So he's teaching me Abba. In other words, if I say, give it to my father, that teaches me, like, the stringency of the first halacha in the Brisa, when I say like give it to my father, I could say maybe like it's like, as my agent or something like that. But if I say, but it's not that way. It was, even though it's my own father, I say give it to my father, it means I'm not interested. Give it to my father. He says, but Tana Avicha, if he says, give it to your father, Lodiacha Koach to Seifa. In other words, even if it's your father, but I want him to act as my agent, that works also as an agent, even though she's not so close with him. Okay? Now, the second white line. Bimana, let's say the man says, Bima Kadesh to me for mana, and she says, Tanein Laploni, give it to X. Eina Mekudeshet. Amanachi Kablimli, but if she says, give it to X on condition that he accept it on my behalf, Mekudeshet. She's Mekudeshet. So the second case is similar to the first case. First case, we had Abba Vavicha, and here we have Ploni. Utsricha, it was necessary to teach me both Machlokot or both Shitot. Yeshmin Abba Vavicha, if he would have only told me the first case where she says, give it to my father or your father, Kiddushin, I would have said, in that case where she says that they should accept on my behalf, it is good Kiddushin, the Samcha Da'ata Alayhu. She has reliance on my father, your father, she knows the whole team. Savra Abimli Shlichutai, she thinks they'll act as my Shlichim, I feel comfortable with that. About Ploni, lo, with Ploni, not. He says, V'yashmin and Ploni, and if she told me the only case with Ploni, Hahu d'chiyama t'neim l'ploni lo habu kiddushay. He says, yeah, I said, give it to Ploni, it's not good kiddushin, lo makarva da'ata l'gaba, l'meifei le'batana. Meaning, I don't feel so close to him that I would want to give a gift to this Ploni or something like that. About Abba Vavicha, but your father or my father, the makarva da'ata l'gabayu, I'd say she has a relationship with them. Ema t'amigavtina. Maybe she intends it to be a gift, in which case it would be Mekudeshet. In other words, you want to give it to me. I say give it to them as a gift, but that they were good. So tzricha. So even in that case, not good. So that's the tzrichusa. All right. Now we're 10 lines down on Chedamud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Hikanshli b'mana. Let's say a man says to a woman, I want you to be Mekudeshet me for mana. And she says, Tanei al gabei sela, put it on this rock. Ina Mekudeshet. Sela Shalah, but it was her rock, it was her katzer, then she's Mekudeshet. So by Rabibi poses the question, Sela Shal Shneimahu, what if the rock belongs to both of them? And she says, put it on the rock. Is so teku. The Gemara leaves that as a teku. All right. Now, okay, so come in, Yaakov, we have 5 lines left to the Daf Yomi. You'll catch a little bit, okay? Settlement Bay is 5 lines from the bottom. All right, that's Yosef who reviewed the whole thing. Okay. Now, okay, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom on page 16, Chedamon Beis. Okay, so if Kachli Bekikar, let's say a man says to a woman, I want you to be Kadesh me for this loaf of bread, and she says, Tineu Lekelb, give it to the dog. So, Eina Mekudeshet, so that's not Mekudeshet. Bimaya Kelb Shalah, but if it was her dog, then she's Mekudeshet. So, if it was her dog, that's something that's taking care of her financial responsibilities. So, by Rav Mari, Kelavrat, what if the dog is pursuing her and wants to bite her? And then he said, and while she's running, he says, Mimu Kadesh me with this loaf of bread. She says, give it to the dog, get him off my back. So Mahu. Bahu anad kamasa nafsha mine gamra. Do I say with the hana that she got that he's saving her from this terrible dog, so she's agreeing to the deal? Odilmamati, or maybe she could say to this fellow, means right to Chivim Mechavet Latzulan. On a Torah level, you're already obligated to save me. You saved my life here. Like, I got this pit bull running after me. So the Gemara leaves that as a teiku. All right, now, last case, 3 lines to the bottom. Hikachli b'kikar. Let's say a man says, be Mekudesh to me for this loaf of bread. And she says, Tenei la'ani, give it to this poor pan. Eina Mekudeshet. It's not Mekudeshet. Afilu ani esamuch aleha. Even if this is an ani that she supports. So this is a regular audience she supports all the time, and she says, give it to him. It's not Mekudeshet. My taima, Amr like Yehechid the Bayana, because she could say to the man, just like I'm obligated to support the ani, Hachi Mechayv. So too, you're also obligated to support him. So not Mekudeshet in that case. Okay, let's just see if we have anything to say from the stories, and that'll be it. What? Yeah, there's a team here on Zoom. But you've got that right. All right, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. So that's what we got here. Today's Dafkan. All right, this. All right, I'll just do this little story a little bit. I'll do a little bit more here. Okay, The first is we had about the Baal Chov Kona Mashkon. So Tosfos explains that the proof that the lender becomes the owner of the item that was given as collateral for the loan is derived from the earlier part of the Pasuk says, B'shachav B'salmato Ve'rechecha. He will sleep in his garment and bless you. Tosfos explains that the garment belonged to the borrower and he would offer a blessing to the lender for allowing him to use while sleeping, there would be a violation of Ribbit Devarim. Verbal interest since the lender is receiving a blessing in addition to the money lent. If, however, the garment became the property of the lender when it was given as collateral, the blessing the borrower gives when returning the garment would not constitute an additional benefit that the lender receives for the loan, rather it's a blessing the lender receives for allowing someone to use his property. Okay, Rishlomo Zalman Auerbach deduced from Tosfos, it is not proper for borrowers to bless their lenders with the words, Tizku the mitzvot, you should merit. This is always a tricky thing, like somebody loans you money, you need the money. So the natural inclination is to say thank you. You know, like whatever, like you need, you're short of cash, you need money to get a ticket or whatever like that. So normally I'd say thank you. But he's saying if it's a borrower, it could be, you shouldn't say Tizku the mitzvot, you shouldn't remember mitzvot, that violates the prohibition against verbal interest. The permitted expression would be to say thank you, since this phrase does not contain a blessing from the borrower to the lender. He says, Sefer Dinei Ribbit of HaMitsuyim, however, records a letter of Auerbach in which he retracts his original ruling that permits saying thank you to the lender. He notes that Shulchan Aruch HaRav adopts a strict position on matters related to verbal interest, and according to that strict position, even saying thank you is prohibited. Rav Moshe Feinstein also ruled that it's not permitted to say thank you, but is permitted to inform the lender that he will be blessed for the mitzvah he performed. The reason is that the borrower is not offering a blessing of his own, which would violate the prohibition against verbal interest. Rather, he's informing him of the fact that people who do mitzvot are blessed. Thus, he's not given anything additional to the lender. It's in a natural thing. Like you feel like you want to say thank you, but the better way is to say like Hashem should bless you or something like that. Or he's got. You say like people who do mitzvot like you get blessed right now. What? Yeah.
You say to everybody.
Rav Solomon said, like, with you're borrowing money, you know, it was pretty good borrowing. Yeah, in that case, the Rav Solomon said that. All right, I think I'm going to break it off at this point in time. Okay, one second. Let me.